Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
It is good to be here. And I think that was just a touch of Southern gospel. I said, thank you, Lord. My daddy used to say, but I don't think this was true, but he used to say, that's the kind of music you can get saved with. But as I grow older, I understand him. The beginning, we want to talk to you today. I feel it's a privilege. When Bob called and asked me to preach in his pulpit, and I want to say that right away I wanted to. We have some things going on in our church that our pastor has cancer, and I've been staying close there to home, and we want you to pray for Kathy, if you will. But I told him, I said, I'll call you back. I'll try to move mountains in order that I might come. And part of that is because it's my brother, and the other part is you people are so warm and so fun to preach to. I just want you to know that. And I've been around quite a lot, and I just really appreciate how you accept the Lord and accept me. You know, John chapter 15, we'll start right there. He, in verse 5, says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I prayed with someone today that said, I need courage. You are the branches. And God said, I am the vine. And if we get a hold of that connection, church, oh my goodness, we'd live better lives, wouldn't we? If we would understand that it's not us, it's Him. And I can represent Him boldly, and I can come boldly before the throne because I am connected with the vine. He abides in me. That church is where we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to go in and out on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night or Tuesday night. We are supposed to live. Christ live, abide, indwells in us. Someone said to me, I feel so alone. And I said, make sure you understand that God lives on the inside of you, and you are never alone. He is a person. He is a real person that you are connected to, and I am in Him. And the same, if we are connected and know that, can bring forth fruit. My, I got a lot more, but that's just good right there, isn't it? We can bring forth fruit. Instead of a barren busyness church in our life, and I've been there and done that, been busy all day long and not known a thing that I got done, not one thing that accomplished anything. He says, if you want to accomplish something, be connected with me, know that Jesus lives within you, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that some of the things and the contacts and the relationships that you have are going to bring forth fruit. It's going to be fruitful. Verse 14 says this, you're my friends. So if you do whatsoever I command you, you are a friend of God. You're not a person way out here, someplace just standing saying, God, did you notice me? I'm here. You are a friend to God. You are connected with God, and God calls you friend. Verse 16 says this. Oh, I love it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I picked you. Of all the people in the world, I looked down and picked you. I said, it's going to be you. I love you. And God said, exactly the way you are. Exactly the way you are. We have Him so much someplace where we can only get in contact once in a while. And when we begin to read these scriptures, it says, but the thing that ye should go and bring forth fruit, he said, that's why I've chosen you, that your fruit shall remain. Our Ashley's with us today. She's our oldest granddaughter. Ashley, stand up, because we just think she's the best. Wow. Isn't that something? And she's going to be a school teacher this year, first year, right out of college. She's going to teach school. And Ashley, what else could you want but to bring forth fruit with those kids and things that will remain and things that will last? You don't want to just get through your year and get your paycheck. Now, she's excited over her paycheck. I mean, she's in debt, so she is excited over her paycheck. But what if she's just teaching to get through the day? Or do you want, and he said, I command that you, in verse 17, that you love one another. He said, the thing that I ask of you, well, now there's the hard part. There's where the rubber meets the road. I've got to love you, and you've got to love me. You say, I do most people. Oh, no. Oh, no. He said, you've got to love the unlovely. You've got to love the irregular person in your life. You have got to, it's different love, but it's a love of God that he's put in your heart. So John chapter 15 says this, you know who you are, and you know who you're not. You know where you live. You know that you're a friend of God. You know that you're chosen, and we know that we are to love one another. I was reminded of a story, and there was a man that said to me, I just want to hear one of your stories, so I'm just going to tell one, okay? A man went to a movie theater, and the movie started, and the usher come down the aisle, and he was laying across three seats in the front row. And the usher said to him, sir, you must set up because you've only paid for one seat, to which he said, ugh. Well, he said, I will go out and get the manager if you won't set up. And the man did not set up. So the usher goes out and gets the manager. They both have their little flashlight. I don't wonder if they still do this, Michael. It's been a long time. So anyway, they come in with their flashlight, and the manager says to the man on the front three seats, sir, you will get up. You've paid for one seat. You will not lay there like nothing has happened. He said, I want you to set up right away, or we will get someone that will make you set up, to which the man said, They go out and they get a cop, and he comes in, and he said, sir, this isn't going to take long. I want to know your name. And he said, Sam. He said, I want to know where you're from. And he said, the balcony. Some of you will get it after you get home because you're not paying attention. You got to pay attention. And I told that for whoever said we want to hear one of your stories. But I also told it because we live in a world that we don't care anymore. We live in a world that we don't notice. I noticed that you were fanning yourself with a offering plate. For 15 minutes, Judy had an offering plate, and I thought, Bob's passing out offering plates to fan themselves with. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was really something out of him. That's a true story I just now seen. But we come into church and we say hello and look the other way. We shake somebody's hand and we don't know whose hand we have shook. We hear a beautiful song. I was going to tell her that was good, but I forgot. We do a lot of different things. Michael sings all those songs and these are up front. And we just take for granted as we come in and out that everything is just the way that it should be. And we don't have to do anything. The Bible says that in Matthew, he said, lay up your treasures upon the earth, Matthew 6, 19, where the moth and the rust and the doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where none of this will happen. For where your treasure is, verse 21 says, there will your heart be also. What have you planned for today? What has your week been like? If you are connected to the branch in the vine, I wonder where our treasures will start. I wonder where the things, our relationships and our connections, and I'm beginning to think that Jerry and I's treasure is each other, even though once in a while we've been painting a couple rooms. Now, let me tell you, we play together a lot better than we work together. I'm just telling you that. We vacation really good together. But you know, when you start to, but what are your relationships and what are your treasures? Your marriage? What is your treasure? Your kids? Your family? On the way here, I mentioned a couple things to Ashley and asked her if I could tell them because I didn't know. Usually she's not here and I'd just tell them. I wouldn't ask her, you know. And she said, Grandma, why do you do that? And I said, because I can tell somebody else's story, but to me, it's not near as good as my story that I've already lived through. And I think if it's my story, it's probably your story, too. It's probably not much different. But it says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And my treasure is my family. We have three girls, and we have son-in-laws, and we have seven grandkids, and that's my treasure. Bob called yesterday. And he said, oh, Carol, you're never going to believe what happened to him. You'll never believe what happened. And I said, Bob, what happened? He said, I don't know if I can talk. I'm telling you the truth. He said, I was with Steve, and he said he was doing really, really good, a 12-hour surgery. And the girls went to eat, and he said he was sitting up in a chair. And he said, all of a sudden, right in the middle of everything going well, his eyes rolled back in his head, and he quit breathing. And I said, Bob, what did you do? He said, man, he said, I yelled. He said, and a nurse come, and she yelled. And a doctor come, and he said, there was four or five doctors. He said, Carol, I thought we were going to lose him. I thought I was going to lose my best friend. He said, I didn't know if I could get through it. And I said, what are you doing right now? He said, I'm driving in the car. I said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. They said he's going to be all right. And I said, I got to get out of here. Where we live with our own. He's been like a brother to Bob and Bob a brother to him. And you know, we walk through places all the time. You know, but when things happen to people and relationships, it's our connections. The Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. How do we make connections? Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those who weep. Like the little girl that went over to the neighbor that the daddy had died. She crawled up on the mommy's lap. You've heard it probably before. And the mother come got her and she said, didn't you know there was a death over there? You need to come home. You need to be with me. Why did you go over there this morning and tell me what you did? She said, oh, mommy, when I sat on her lap and she laughed, I just smiled and laughed too. And when she cried, mommy, I just cried with her. How do you make relationships and connections in the church with other people? You do it through a love for one another. You do it looking at people in the eyes when you talk to them. You do it that you care about them on Monday, not just on Sunday morning. You care. You know you have walked through some deep valleys so that you can give your life away to someone else that has walked through the same valley. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, because this fulfills the law of Christ. The law is Christ to teach people that they need to be saved. The cross was for real and the blood was shed for them. But to also teach people that you love them, that you love them in a special way. 2 Corinthians says, God confronts us in all our tribulations that we may confront others in trouble with the same comfort he gave us. What's tribulations, church? It's feeling weighed down. Have you felt that this week? It's feeling so pressed that sometimes you can't breathe, like there's something on your chest and you're just not breathing very good. It's feeling such a heaviness that you think you might even die. And some people that are here this morning have had that kind of burden. Some of yous are happy. Some of yous are, I'm happy. Two rooms are painted. Glory, hallelujah. I'm happy. But he doesn't know enough to stop. I mean, he'll stop and eat, and I turn around, and he's got another room tore up. and I didn't want another tore up room. Then last night it was done. He's messed with my mind, and I think he's wonderful. It's done. We're all so different. Do you know that? We're so different. And the differences, you know, don't drive us apart. They can even pull us together with God's help. That's what he says. What you believe and what you learn in your theology will determine the way you behave. It's important that you know this morning what you believe. It's important that you know that you are connected, that even with Bob out of town, you're connected. You need to know that. You need to know that. Some of the things that encourages me is one thing is encouragement, absolutely encouragement. How do we encourage each other? Well, I say, buck it up, brother. You know, you can do it. No, that's not encouragement. Encouragement says something like this. We hear, we listen, and we care. How long has it been, husband, since you've heard and listened and cared about your wife and what she has on her mind? And you guys are saying, golly, if I listened all the time, I'd be crazy. Just never shuts up, never shuts up. Or how about the other way? How long has it been, women, since you've listened to your husband, that you've listened to him, that you've heard, and that you care? We listen not only with our ears, but we listen with our eyes. We look into each other's face, and then we say something. We don't come across, or with a child when he tells us something, I told you it was going to be this way. I tried to tell you. Or we have an answer, and maybe the child doesn't want an answer. Maybe the wife or the husband doesn't want an answer. Maybe she just wants you to listen. Maybe he wants you to care. Tell me again. How long has it been since you've said to someone, tell me again with encouragement. Tell me one more thing what you have just told me. I want to listen better this time. I want to really take it to the throne of God. I want to leave my opinion. Oh, as the older I get, my pet peeve, I don't want your opinion, Michael. I just don't want your opinion. I've heard more people's opinion. And, you know, Jerry likes this radio station in Cincinnati when we're going through traveling. What is it, Dad? You know, that guy gives his opinion all the time about a ball team. And I'll take about a half hour of it, and I'll say, turn that off. That's strictly his opinion. I have an opinion, too. But we base that on what we believe, and then it makes us behave. Tell me again. We must look at opportunities to encourage and know that we can be encouraged. We must be accepted. Romans 15:7 says, receive one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. Acceptance. Do you accept one another here in the church? If somebody looks different than you do, or they act different than you do, or their color is different than yours, or their language, they don't speak the same language. If they just feel different about some things, I wonder if you can accept everybody. Now, I think I've come a long way, baby, as a fry. But this granddaughter says that I'm prejudiced. I'm not. But she's younger than me. And I said, Ashley, you should have seen me 20 years ago. You wouldn't have liked me at all. I didn't know that I was. I didn't know that, church. I love everybody. If you're around me, I love people. And I didn't know some of the things that were embedded in me were prejudiced things. I thought it was that way everywhere. You know, and then when you get more of God and more of God and you begin to let go of some of those things, but we accept one another, we observe and we participate and we care about one another. A little boy was really mean. He was just a mean little boy. Wouldn't sit still. He wouldn't do what anybody told him. The teachers had called the mom and dad and told him. The church had called the mom and dad and told him. They just didn't know what he was going to do with him, so they took him to a pastor, an old man pastor. you know, one of them that kind of believed the spank on the butt and set them down instead of counting to 10. Oh, I don't like to count to 10, Michael. We never count to 10 at my house. We never got a 1. We never got a 1. Now, I'm not sure that's right. I'm just telling you, it's hard to count to 10 after you've never been counted and it just went, whoof, right away, that happened. You know, before you knew it was coming, it was there. So anyway, this old man preacher, and he was probably about as old as you, I suppose. I was going to say me, but I wanted to say you really bad. And you know, he said to him, "Why don't, sir, you take your son about an hour every day and spend time with him? I mean, just you and him. Don't think about anything else, just think about him." And so the dad said they'd tried everything else. He took the little boy that was about 5 years old, and he took him into a room, and it was just the two of them. And he said, "Son, we're going to do anything you want to. Don't want to do nothing." Well, he said, "Well, we're going to be here an hour, whether you want to do anything or not. So we might as well start thinking of things." And this is a true story. And they begin to play games together, and they begin to talk together, and they begin to participate in the things that they were doing. And when they were talking, they begin to touch one another, and they begin to look at one another, and they begin to care about one another. And what happened, true story, was at school, the little boy began to act better. At church, the little boy began to act better. He'd tell everybody everywhere he went, "Daddy and I spend 1 hour together all by ourselves, and you know what we're going to do today?" Because he was so excited to spend that time, that precious time. He didn't need medicine. He didn't need a lot of things that the world tells us that we need, and sometimes we do. I understand that. But all he needed was an attention that was completely his. All he needed was a daddy that didn't work all the time and stopped work just long enough to pay attention to him. He needed a daddy that would tell him that he loved him right out loud instead of saying, "Well, you know I love you. I wouldn't put food on the table if I didn't love you." He needed a daddy that said it right out loud and that would hug him and touch him and allow him to sit on his lap. He needed somebody to tell him that they cared and participate strictly with him 1 hour a day. I asked Ashley on the way up here if I could use this. To Jerry and I, she's the sweetest little thing since bread and butter. But she's our granddaughter. You feel that way about her, don't you, Judy? Yeah. When she was a little girl, her mom called. They lived in Michigan. And her mom said to me, she said, "Ashley is strong-willed, Mom." And I'd said, "Oh, she's so sweet." You know, I'm Grandma. "She's so sweet. Oh, Mom," she said, "I don't know what to do anymore. If she doesn't want to do something, it's like moving a rock." She said, "And she gets mean." And she said, "I just don't." Well, I couldn't hardly even stand to hear it, you know, let alone try to deal with it. But I did pray about it. And so next day or two, she called again. And I said, "Tani, why don't you just make a little tea party or something every morning?" And, you know, I'd been into this retreat stuff for women and marriages. And I thought, maybe I'll apply it to me. You know, maybe I'll apply it to my family. And I said, "Why don't you make a little tea party and maybe have tea with her?" I said every day, but on the way up, Jerry said it wasn't every day, but he didn't even know the story, but he knows things like that. So it wasn't every day, but it was now and then. And so they got together and they had their tea party. And after a week or so, she called me. And she said, "Mom, do you know what's wrong with Ashley?" And I said, "What?" Said, "She has fears. She's fearful of new things." Now, she's going to tear up because she's still fearful of new things. Now, she'll fool you. She'll give you a ride and you'll never know it. But she's still fearful of new beginnings, of new things. She just went to work for a lawyer last week, and the lawyer told me that when she first come in, he said, It was like she just was scared, just scared of everything. Well, I knew this as a little girl. And he said she wasn't there 2 hours and she could have run the place. But fears, they were genuine. And Tani said, as I talked to her, we'd bought her a new bike. Do you remember, Jerry? Oh, not just a bike, the helmet, the things on the arms, the gloves, the fly things that made it look pretty. Spent money, I'll tell you. And she wouldn't ride it. She didn't want to ride it. She didn't like it. She didn't want to ride it. Do you know what we found out? She was afraid she'd fall. She was afraid she'd fall. So when her mom and her had tea, she could say, I was afraid I would fall, and some tears begin to fall instead of being so angry and strong-willed. There's a way to get to our connections and to accept one another or appreciate. Do you appreciate one another? There's a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist prepared the way for the truth to come. And I wonder how long it has been since you have told one another with your connections or your relationship how well pleased you are with one another. How well pleased. I forgot to tell you, but I was going to. You are a neat man when you paint a room. He lays down things. He's not a slob. I appreciate that. If I told you, this wasn't the place, but I was afraid I'd forget. Success breeds success. Failure and innate failure breeds failure. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Dad, if you can't, you are going to raise children that can't either, unless they get away from you. Mom, if you don't want to, they ain't going to want to either. Negative and critical. Forgiveness breeds forgiveness. Kindness breeds kindness. The way you talk in a gentle voice will be the way that others picked up. I found out a long time ago that a whole lot was up to me at my house in the sense and the manner of how I accepted things and how I said things. If I screamed, my little girls would scream. I even found out if I yelled at Jerry, he yelled back. I didn't like him yelling at me. So I quit yelling. Understand? Catch it. It's really the truth. John says the darkness, there's just a little bit of light, and darkness will blind the eyes, but love and light will open it up. There's hope because the love of God sheds abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. We need as a church to spend time with one another, spend time with your children. And when they're old, I read just this week, they will spend time with you. Show an interest in each other now. And someday, when you need to be shown an interest, they will show an interest to you. Few months back, I landed in the hospital for just a couple days, which is really unusual for me. I'm really very healthy. And I'll tell you one thing that I deeply appreciated that I didn't even think about because I had never needed it. I have 3 daughters, Jerry and I, and they come immediately, and they didn't go home till I was dismissed. I didn't need that. I told them they didn't need to stay like that. But I'll tell you, did I appreciate it? And I said to the nurse, if you're waiting on these girls to leave, I don't think they're going to leave till I do. Make sure what you give out, you know will come back to you. Show a child, touch a child today, and when you're old, maybe that child will touch you. Take a hold of a child's hand and walk with them. And maybe when you grow old, that child will take your hand and walk with you. Available. We need to be available. We need to know that it number one priority is for God so loved the world that he gave. Love is spelled, and I read this too by an author that has done a fantastic job, T-I-M-E. You cannot love me without giving me your time. I cannot love you without giving you time. And then there's accountability, and this is limits and regulations. and responsibility. And we need to have responsibility. Michael, play something, but we've been together a long time, way back at Free Christian. Michael, play something. Okay. There was a parrot, and he come to live with an old man on his birthday, and he had a bad mouth and a bad attitude. But the old man didn't care. He'd been around a long time. He was going to change his mouth, and he definitely was going to change his attitude. Played soft music in the background always and thought that would cool him off just a little bit, but that parrot had been that way a long time. And when he would say something bad, he'd say to him, "No, we don't do it that way." Kept correcting him. That parrot wouldn't change. Just meaner and meaner and meaner. And finally, he was from the old school, kind of like I was raised, and he took that parrot and threw him in the freezer. We was never thrown in the freezer. Bob almost went to the freezer once, but I didn't. And that parrot just squawked and carried on. And all of a sudden, he was quiet. All of a sudden, he was quiet. And the guy thought maybe something happened to him, so he opened it up, put his arm out like that, and that parrot just walked out and sat on his arm. And he said right out loud to the old man, "I'm very sorry for my foul mouth, and I'm very sorry for my bad attitude. And he said, will you forgive me?" And the old man said, "Well, yes." He said, "But I have one more question." He said, "Okay. What did the chicken do?" I think we come to church all the time, and we think because we are a church person with our sign on and our Bible under our arm that we don't have to change an attitude, we don't have to change who we are, we forget who we are connected to, we forget where we are going and who we want to take with us. Church, it's about relationships, it's about connections, it's about loving one another, it's about caring for one another. That person in your life, in your family, have you given them enough time? I mean one-on-one time, not I told you so time. Oh, my dad could just, "I told you, I told you, I told you," and I thought, man, if I hadn't had a mom, I'd have died. Because he told me. And then if I'd have just had mom, she just loved me and loved me and loved me and loved me. I might not have known anything either. But the two together worked out pretty good. It was pretty good. Can you change because God wants you to? Who you taking to heaven with you? Your family? Each other? Let's stand.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.